First Samuel 30 and verse 1. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and the 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And I pray that if perhaps you're here this evening and you're faint like these 200 men, you're discouraged. My prayer is that this wee message will be a great encouragement to you. Verse 11. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat. And they made him drink water, and they gave him a piece of a cake of figs, and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread, nor drunk any water, 3 days and three nights. And David said unto him, To whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, Canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear unto me by God, that thou wilt neither kill me, nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking for them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle, and said, This is David's spoil. We'll end there at verse 20, and we'll look to the Lord to speak to us. Let's please bow for prayer, and could we ask the Lord to come and to speak to us. He has a message for each one of us. Every one of us in the tent tonight, the Lord has a message for us. Numbers, I know, are down tonight. But sometimes the Lord does that. Sometimes His sovereign grace, His sovereign wisdom ordains that we come to services where there are not many people there, and perhaps not many unconverted tonight. But then the Lord knows best, and He is sovereign, and His ways are perfect. So we'll look to Him in a word of prayer, and we'll ask the Lord to come and bless us. Our dear loving Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou wilt be pleased to bless us, even as we study Thy Word. Lord, bless each one. Thank You, Lord, for the little ones who are here tonight. Lord, we're glad to see the little children. And bless the little children even tonight, we pray. And we pray You bless each one of us, Lord. Lord, come and speak to Thy people, bless Thy people, and encourage Thy people. We pray that, Lord, that Thou wilt help them to be of good cheer. We pray that they might be encouraged even as they listen to the preaching of Thy Word. Lord, come and minister to us, we pray. Thank You for Jim's ministry already to us this evening. Thank You, Lord, for such faithful ministry. And Lord, we just thank You, O God, for those beautiful words that Thy servant has sung. Lord, bless the ministry and song, we pray. And Lord, draw near to us now and bless the remaining moments of the meeting. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. I want us to think tonight about four thoughts that come to us from 1 Samuel chapter 30. And first of all, can I draw your attention to the painful reality? There was a painful reality here for David. You see, David was anointed to be the king of Israel, but he hadn't come to the throne of Israel. And King Saul realized that God had chosen David, and jealousy and bitterness overcame Saul. And for quite some time, Saul chased after David with the one intent, with the one purpose of murdering God's anointed. And so David had to run for his life, as it were, and he fled into the wilderness of Judea. He fled to that barren, open wasteland, and David hid from King Saul. And eventually David came to the end of his tether. Maybe you're at the end of your tether tonight. Sometimes the Lord's people can get to the end of their tether. Circumstances can just leave us totally discouraged, totally cast down, and we feel just like David. We have come to our wit's end. Well, David could really take no more. He had come to his wit's end, and he decided that he would actually leave the country of Israel, and he would go to the country of Philistia. He would go to the Philistines, and he would plead to the king of Gath, who was called Achish. He would plead for mercy and ask for asylum from the king of the Philistines. And so he made his way to Philistia, and he came to the city of Ziklag, and that became his base. And there was a day whenever David and his men were away from Ziklag, and they had left their wives and their children behind them. And while they were away, the Amalekites came to Ziklag. Verse 1 tells us that the Amalekites invaded the south in Ziklag, and had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. The Amalekites, who were the long-term enemies of Israel, they had come to Ziklag and razed the place to the ground. And whenever David came back, he saw Ziklag, and he saw that the city had been burned to the ground, and everything he had seemed to be destroyed. His world had fallen apart. And here was a painful reality. I wonder, is there a child of God in the meeting tonight, and you just feel as if your world has fallen apart? Because often that's the way that God's people feel. And that's the way that David felt. Notice verse 2. And to take in the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So not only has Ziklag been burned to the ground, but David's loved ones have been taken captive. Verse 3, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Now here's a situation where not many of the Lord's people have ever been. Here is a group of people who had wept until they could weep no more. They had cried tears until they had no more tears to cry. I wonder, have you ever been in that situation? Through circumstances, whatever has happened, you were at the stage where you were crying night and day. And you were like David and his men. You lifted up your voice and you wept until you had no more power to weep. Well, if you've come through that experience, then tonight's message is for you. There was a painful reality. But notice secondly that there was a public rebellion. A public rebellion. Because whenever David returned to Ziklag, and he saw the city burned to the ground, and he realized that his wives and children were taken captive, and David perhaps thought, well, things can get no worse. Surely things are at their lowest ebb, and they can't possibly get any worse. And just then, things got worse. Things went from bad to worse. Because David's own friends turned against him. There was a public rebellion. I wonder, have you ever been in a situation, child of God, where everybody seems to be against you? Where people, even those who used to be your friends, they have turned against you. And they are starting to gang up on you, as it were. Well, don't be discouraged, because that has been the lot of many of the Lord's people down through the ages. Not only was David in that situation, but you think of Paul the Apostle. Remember on one occasion that Paul said, all Asia has turned against me. All Asia has turned against me. Paul was saying that every Christian in the continent of Asia had turned against him. He was totally on his own. All those people who owed their conversions to Paul and his missionary labors, they had all turned against him. Sometimes that happens to Christians. Sometimes people turn against Christians. Sometimes the Lord's people feel as if they are all alone. But mark this. People who are sometimes left all alone are the people that God uses the most. Think about how God used the Apostle Paul. Surely, next to the Lord Jesus Christ, there was nobody who was used more than the Apostle Paul. And think about David. Let's come back to David. Oh, here he was all alone. Everything and everyone was against him. But remember how God used this man. Remember how God used David. Think of the book of Psalms. What a blessed portion of scripture that is. And had it not been for David, we wouldn't have the book of Psalms. Had it not been for David, we wouldn't have the Lord Jesus Christ. Because remember that Christ came via David. David was part of the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. David was all alone. Paul was all alone, but the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, was all alone. He was deserted by his disciples when it came to the hour of death. But then, of course, on the cross, he was even deserted by his heavenly Father. So sometimes the Lord's people seem to be all alone. But the wonderful comfort is that those who are Christians are never totally alone. Even should everyone else turn against you, you still have your Heavenly Father, and He will never turn against you. He will always be there. He will always be there to comfort you, to sustain you, and to help you along. And whenever the going gets tough, whenever life gets so tough that you can hardly carry on, then you can depend on the Lord to carry you through. Here was a painful reality and a public rebellion. But notice that there was a perfect response. There was a perfect response. Whenever David's city was burned to the ground, whenever his wives were taken captive, whenever his children had been taken prisoner, and whenever all of his acquaintances turned against him, what did David do? David turned to the Lord. Notice verse 6 of 1 Samuel 30. And this is one of the most encouraging passages of Scripture for God's people. This is one of the greatest texts for the encouragement of the Lord's people. Notice what it says. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I like the buts of Scripture. The buts of the Bible. And here's one of the great buts of the Bible. It says, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He turned to the Lord at his lowest hour, when things seemed to be darkest. David turned to the Lord. When he could turn to nobody else, he turned to the Lord. At least he could turn to his Heavenly Father. So Christian, whenever you get to the point where you feel that you can take no more, turn to the Lord. Flee to your refuge, for the Lord is your refuge. Sometimes churches can feel discouraged. And, of course, church life isn't easy. Church work isn't easy, especially today, because people have so little desire for the Word of God. And if we're honest, most churches have to admit that things are on the slide. Oh, our church, our congregation, when we're honest, we have to admit that things aren't the way we'd like them to be. But we're not alone. Every church in the land, or at least most churches in the land, are exactly the same. Every church seems to be, as it were, at best, holding its own. Things aren't easy. Church life isn't easy. And sometimes we can feel like David and his men. We can feel that things are going badly and we can get discouraged. And we see that people are so careless when it comes to things of God. And the average service, you only have the faithful few. No longer are churches filled. Most of the churches across the country have empty seats. Empty pews, and indeed many empty pews. What do we do in that situation? We do what David did. We turn to the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And as a church, we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord whenever things are bleak. Whenever things are at a low ebb, then we need to turn to the Lord. That's a message for our own congregation, but it's a message for any of you dear believers who are here tonight from other congregations. Don't be discouraged. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Turn to Him. And you see, the wonderful truth is, the wonderful reality is, that when you turn to the Lord, you will be encouraged. Because you cannot but be encouraged when you turn to the Lord. Because you look to the Lord and you see His power, and His ability, and His might, and His supernatural strength, and you realize that things won't always be this way. Churches won't always be empty. Because God is on the throne, and God is the God of revival, and His people are praying for revival, and though things are difficult now, praise the Lord, things won't always be like this, because the Lord has promised that in the last days, He will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. We're in the last days, but praise God, we're looking for the outpouring of His Spirit upon all flesh. And I like the wee word all there, because that wee all includes little Ulster, doesn't it? All flesh. David had a perfect response. You see, David couldn't have done anything better. He couldn't have responded any better than he did, because David, in his discouragement, in his depression, we could say, David turned to the Lord. He encouraged himself in the Lord. So there was a painful reality and a public rebellion, but thank God there was a perfect response to the situation. And then finally, and time is gone, there was a personal relationship. I want you to notice that David had a personal relationship, because it says, David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Notice that wee word, his. The Lord, his God. God was his God. The Lord was his God. The Lord was David's God. David knew the Lord as his Savior. David was trusting in the Messiah who was yet to come. And of course, David wrote about the Messiah who was yet to come. Many of the Psalms speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. But David knew God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He had that personal relationship. And that's the best relationship that anyone can ever have. To have a personal relationship with God. And the question that begs asking tonight is, do you have a personal relationship with God? When it comes to the end of the day, and you've been discouraged, you've had a hard day, and things have just gone from bad to worse, can you sit down at the end of the day and talk it over with your Heavenly Father? Maybe you can't talk it over with your husband or your wife. With your sons or your daughters, with your neighbors or your friends, because they're not saved. But it's good if at least you can talk it over with your Heavenly Father and pour your heart out to Him. And you can do that whenever you have a personal relationship with Him. What was it the hymn writer said? Mine, mine, mine. I know thou art mine. Savior, dear Savior, I know thou art mine.